Have you ever been in a contest with someone else or running for an office and you lost? And it was crushing, wasn't it? Absolutely crushing. And yet when you stopped and you thought about it, you looked at the other person and you knew, hey, I really should have lost because they had a heart for what they were doing. And I was just running. I was simply running to get the position. We're going to talk about God searching for a heart that is fully His. I wonder, beloved, if you realize how important the heart is. Because in the lesson today, God is going to turn His back on Saul. And he's going to walk away because God is searching for a man after His own heart. Why is the heart such an issue? The heart is such an issue because what God is looking for is God is looking for a man after His own heart so that God might use that man to fulfill His purposes in His generation. And I know that it's no accident that you have tuned in to this program because God is searching for you. But God is only going to take you and only going to use you, and you're only going to know that sense of fulfillment and purpose if you determine that you're going to be a man or a woman after God's own heart. This is a phrase that we hear, and we always hear it in connection with King David. And yet, as you know about King David, the thing that you know is you know that David blows it. And yet, even after David blows it, after he sins with Bathsheba, which is not yet, and it's yet to come in our series, but after he blows it, God still says of him in the New Testament that he was a man after his own heart. He says it in Acts 13:22, who fulfilled God's purpose in his generation. I want to take us to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And as we go to 1 Samuel chapter 15, we have God telling Saul that he is to go to the Amalekites and he is to slay all of them. He is to get rid of everything. He is to utterly destroy everything. And he is to utterly destroy it by being obedient to God, by taking that stuff that he is destroying and giving it to God as an act of obedience. Well, if you've been listening to the program, then you know, hey, Saul did not do what God told him to do. Instead, Saul spared Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and he saved the best of the cattle, and he saved the best of the livestock. And he told Samuel, listen, I did it because I want to come here to Gilgal, and at Gilgal, I'm going to sacrifice, and I'm going to give these sacrifices to God. Well, you remember what Samuel said and what the Lord spoke through Samuel. Samuel was the prophet. The prophet was God's mouthpiece. Let's go back and pick it up, put ourselves into context, and see God move from Saul to David and why he moves from Saul to David and what God wants us to remember about Saul at this point. Well, Samuel said, has the Lord, and I'm in verse 22 of chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, and Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? That's what he came to do. He said, I saved the best for you, God, and I'm coming to make a burnt offering and I'm coming to make a sacrifice. He says, does God have delight in that as much as he has in obeying the voice of the Lord? He says, it's not the sacrifices I want. It's I want obedience. See, and there is a sacrifice of obedience. And the sacrifice of obedience means this, that even though you don't think you should, even though you don't think it's good for you, even though you think it could be done a better way, because you know that God is God, You're going to sacrifice your way for His way, and you're going to obey Him totally, absolutely, completely. That is a heart for God. Now watch what he says. He says, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, listen, get it? To obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed means to listen. And when you listen, you're listening so that you can obey. And to heed than the fat of rams. That was part of the sacrifice that they would give to the Lord. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Insubordination means when your officer tells you what to do, you don't do it. When your officer says, go this way, you go that way. When your officer says, stop, you keep going. When he says, keep going, you stop. When he says, do that, you say it's too hard. That's insubordination. And one of the problems in our society today is insubordination. We are living in a day and time like the days of Judges, when every man is doing what's right. Now watch, in his own heart, in his own heart. In other words, man becomes the parameter. Man becomes the commander. And God says, oh no, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a heart that is fully mine, a heart that will obey. I don't want rebellion. Rebellion and insubordination are like iniquity, and they are like idolatry. And it's idolatry because you have put something else between you and God. You're not obeying God. And he says, because you have rejected the word of the Lord has rejected you from being king. How very, very, very sad. Now, Saul heard this message earlier. We're going to look at it in just a minute. But now watch what happens. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, and I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people, and I listen to their voice. Now, I think that while he's saying that, he's got his fingers crossed and behind his back. I think that that's what he's saying. He's saying, you know, I promise you that this is what I did, but I've got my fingers crossed, so I'm really let out of it. I don't believe that he feared the people. He was the king. I mean, you don't see him at other times fearing the people. You don't see him at other times listening to the voice of the people. But you know what? It is so easy to excuse ourselves from total obedience. And what we want to do is we want to put the blame on MAME. I don't know if you're old enough to remember that song, but let's put the blame on MAME, boys. It's her fault. It's really not our fault. I mean, we're just boys. And so this is what he's doing. He's putting the blame on the people. And he says, now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. Forgive me. I've sinned. Now look, come on. Let's go back with me. We're at Gilgal. Let's go back. You go back with me so that I can worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king. I want you to know that I can't go back with you. I can't go with you and do those sacrifices because you've rejected the Lord, and you rejected the word of the Lord, and God has rejected you from being king. And as Samuel turned to go, Saul seized the edge of his robe. I mean, here is Samuel walking away. Saul reaches out, grabs his robe because he didn't listen to him. He wants him to obey, and he grabs his robe, and the minute he grabs the robe tears. And that's a bad sign. I mean, a real bad sign. Listen to what God says. So Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to your neighbor who is better than you. There's a man that is better than you. And as I said in the opening of this program, sometimes, beloved, sometimes we're running for a position or we want to achieve something because we want it for us. and somebody else wins, or somebody else gets the position, somebody else gets to lead. But then when we stop and we really analyze it objectively, we say, you know, they should have it because they are better than me. And because they're better than me, they should be there. Now listen, what made this man that God is going to choose better than Saul? Well, this is something that we want to watch as we continue to move through 1 Samuel, because you're going to see it. And what you want to do is you want to keep a column on Saul, and you want to keep a column on David, who we're going to meet in the next chapter of 1 Samuel. You want to keep a column. You want to compare these two men. You want to contrast them. And as you do, you want to say, hey, am I more like Saul or am I more like David? Because the man that is better than Saul is David. Well, let's finish this chapter, because I have something very important that I want you to see that will help you remember Saul at this point. And so Samuel said to him in verse 28, the Lord has torn the kingdom from you today and has given it to your neighbor who is better than you. Also, the glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind. In other words, look, it is settled. I am not going to change my mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. You know, you and I can manipulate others. You and I can fast talk. You and I can persuade. You and I can cajole and try and win somebody over. And maybe we do, and we get them to do what we want. But Samuel wants Saul to know something. He wants him to know that this one, this God who is the glory of Israel, is not going to lie, and he's not going to change his mind. He's not a man. He is not going to do that. You cannot manipulate God. You may manipulate man, but not God. And so he goes, then he said, I have sinned. So Saul has said, I have sinned. Now, remember, we're marking the text and we're learning how to pick out key repeated words. And anytime you see sin, anytime you see iniquity, anytime you see transgression, I mark them, although there are shades of difference and exciting shades of difference between sin and iniquity and transgression. They all are rebellion against God. They are all words that talk about disobedience from God, going over the line when God says don't go over the line, turning away, failing to reach the mark, the standard that God says. And so this is what you want to do. You want to mark every reference to sin. Now, how do I mark it? I simply color it brown. Now, what happens as a result of this? Samuel, remember, is walking away. Saul has grabbed his robe. He has torn his robe, and God says the kingdom is gone. But there's more to learn, and we'll learn it when we come right back. Welcome back, beloved of God. Well, I left you marking the word sin. And what I wanted to tell you is this. You need to go to our website. That's preceptsforlife.com. preceptsforlife.com, preceptsforlife.com. And what you want to do is you want to download the study guide that we have on this portion of 1 Samuel, because it's going to be so vital, because you're going to get to know a lot about what it means to have a heart that is fully the Lord's. And so you don't want to miss that. Well, let me take you back now to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul says again to Samuel, I have sinned, but please honor me now. And I'm in verse 30, excuse me. All right. But please honor me now before the elders of the people and before Israel, and go back with me that I may worship the Lord your God. Isn't that interesting? The Lord your God. I want to go back and worship the Lord your God. Now, he says, I want you to honor me in front of these people. Don't walk away. Yes, I've got a piece of your robe. Yes, I heard what God is going to do. And I heard that he's going to take the kingdom. But please don't leave me here. I mean, if I go back there and you're not with me, in other words, what is it going to look like? Please honor me and go back with me. And this is the graciousness of Samuel. And so Samuel went back following Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Isn't it ironic? He will not obey God, but he will worship him. You know, sometimes I get concerned, and I get concerned because a lot of times we spend most of our time in a church service worshiping God, singing because we love to sing and because it brings joy to our heart, and sometimes it brings tears to our eyes, and there's an emotion there. But what happens when the singing is over? And the thing that distresses me so much is sometimes there is so much singing that we don't worship the Lord by listening to his word. And then we don't know what he says. And then we don't know how to obey. I want you to understand that when you read this book, when you study this book, and this is why I want you to download the study guide, preceptsforlife.com, download the study guide and study along with me, because these are the very words of God. And this is the supreme worship of God. To worship someone is to bow down before them. It is to prostrate yourself before them. It is to honor God as God. And so when you do that, beloved, when you do that, when you read his word and obey it, then that is the highest form of worship. That is saying, God, I'm acknowledging you for who you are. Well, it says, then Samuel said, bring me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came to him cheerfully. I mean, Agag had a smile on his face. And I'm sure he was just feeling great, because Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. I'm not going to die. I escaped this one. But Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so your mother shall be childless among men. And Samuel hewed Agag to pieces before the Lord at Gilgal. I mean, Samuel just took his sword and he killed Agag and he cut him in pieces, and symbolism for what Agag had done to so many women in his battles and making them childless. Now remember, Agag was of the Amalekites, and it was the Amalekites that attacked Israel from the rear when they were faint and when they were weary, and right after they had come out of the land of Egypt and had entered the wilderness of sin. This is what the Amalekites had done. So now he's paying for that as a representative of his people. It says, then Samuel went to Ramah, but Saul went up to his house at Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death. For Samuel grieved over Saul and the Lord. And this is so sad. In fact, I colored it yellow. I highlighted it. And the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. Now, why did he regret that he had made Saul king over Israel? Well, when you think of Saul, I want you to think of a big, big S. Okay? And when you think of Saul, and that's easy to do because you have an S, and that's what Saul's name started with. You think of Saul and you know that Saul sinned because he did not obey. And when you do not obey, that is sin. Now, I want to show you something, and I want to start at the top of the S, and I want to start with chapter 13 of 1 Samuel. In chapter 13 of 1 Samuel, what you see is you see Saul sacrifices, and you can write this right down in your notes, just drawing a big S, that Saul sacrifices at Gilgal. And when Saul sacrifices at Gilgal, as you know, if you have studied 1 Samuel, you know in chapter 13 that when he does this, he does it in disobedience to God. And he does it in disobedience to God. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 13 and let's just look at it. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, he does it in disobedience to God because Saul has been told by Samuel, go to Gilgal and you wait for me there until I get there so that then I will make the sacrifice. Well, Saul gets to Gilgal and he doesn't wait. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 13 in verse 8, it says, now he waited 7 days according to the appointed time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, bring to me the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. Well, when he offers this burnt offering, then Samuel shows up. And in verse 11, he says, what have you done? And Saul says, because I saw the people were scattering from me and that you did not come within the appointed days and the Philistines were assembling at Michmash. Therefore, I said, now the Philistines will come against me at Gilgal and I haven't made a sacrifice to the Lord. I've got to do it. What was the bottom line of all this? Samuel said to Saul in verse 13, you have acted foolishly. Now listen carefully. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord. In other words, you walk by your own thinking and you did not obey me. And then in verse 14, he says, but now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has appointed him ruler over the people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Now, stop and think. All right, let's go to the swirl in the S and let's come over here to chapter 14. And in chapter 14, what do you have? You have Saul slaying or wanting to slay his son. You have Saul wanting to put Jonathan to death. And again, you have Saul moving according to his own reasoning, moving according to his own logic. God is looking for a man. He is looking for a man after his own heart. So if you think of Saul, think of a big S. Think of Saul sinning. Saul sacrifices at Gilgal. It's a sin. Saul is going to slay his son in chapter 14 and only the grace of God and the people stop him from slaying Jonathan. And at chapter 15, you have Saul sparing Agag. And as a result of his sparing Agag, you have Saul and Samuel separated from one another. And you have God grieved. God sorrows because he wants a man after his own heart. Oh, beloved, will you be that man, that woman?
Do you love Kay Arthur's teaching? Would you like to get up to speed on all of Precept Ministries' news and events? Join us on Facebook by visiting precept.org/Facebook. Receive daily biblical encouragement, special messages from Kay, updates on new products, event announcements, and get connected with others seeking the truth from God's Word.
See you on Facebook. Well, beloved, it's time for our precept for life. But as I say that, I think, do you get tickled with me? I mean, when I stand here and I get adamant and passionate and I'm pointing this marker in your face, are you saying, wait a minute, I'm hearing you, Kay, I'm hearing you. I love you, and I love teaching you, and I thank you so very, very much for the privilege of doing this. And I want you to know that your emails and your letters and your support mean so very, very much to me. You enable us through this program to reach millions of people and teach them God's Word, precept upon precept, so that they can have understanding. Well, as you look at this big S, what I want you to remember is this, that when we do not obey, we are like Saul. And when we are like Saul, we are sinning. We are walking our own way. We are leaning to our own understanding. And all of this is because our heart is not fully His. So when you think of Saul, you think of just a partial heart. You cannot think of a heart that is fully, fully God's. I mean, Saul sacrificed at Gilgal. Saul seeks to slay his son. And now in chapter 15, Saul is sparing Agag. And listen, when we sin like that, you know what? It brings division. So your precept for life today is to let your heart be fully God's, not a partial heart, but let your heart be fully God's, a heart that belongs to God, a heart that, because it is fully God's, is not going to sin, but a heart that is going to obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And a heart that is fully God's is a heart that longs not to please itself, but to please God. And so I just want to urge you, as we come to the end of this program, to be a man, to be a woman after God's own heart. I mean, and how do you do that? Well, you do it exactly the way that we're doing it now. You get in the book, and you open the book, and you study the book, because this is God's book. These are God's words, and you read them, and you say, you're God, and I am man, and you're the creator, and I'm the created. You're the potter, and I'm the clay, and I want you to mold me and shape me into a woman, a man after your own heart. I'll be a woman, a man that obeys.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.